Right here's
you just
good.
Keep that level of energy. Mm. Right. Don't move.
Don't move.
I was gonna say I'm gonna activate the core for the next 100 minutes and do this entire podcast.
Yeah, set the GPS Latin Lounge, and
it's right here.
Get cozy.
No breathing, no twitching in the hands.
What we do here is go back.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Wheel Route Podcast. This is mildly legitimate conversation amongst friends and lovers about college football and lifestyle. You can find the Wheel Route on the internet. www.thewheelroute.com is the website. Wheelroutepodcast@gmail.com. We may or may not have the credentials to get into some of these handles. We're working on that at the moment. The IT department's working on that at the moment. But we are still uploading live hot episodes on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Get them there. The Instagram also. I can't get into the Instagram. So if you really need me, ping me there on the Instagram. My name is Logan Whitehouse. If you should need me, you can find me on Twitter at LogOnTheDon as well. I'm coming to you guys from lovely Stuart, Florida, where it continues to be pretty nice. We had some rain today, a little bit of rain. I think we're getting scraped by the edge of Tropical Storm Raphael that's working its way into the Gulf right now. So, you know, but other than that, that's the most monumentous thing that's happened the last couple of days around here. Who else is here?
My name is Jordan Schenk. I am back in balmy Harrisonburg, Virginia.
It's home.
We nearly touched 80 degrees today on the thermometer, if the apps are to be believed. I'm on the social medias at Schenk Jordan. Would like to be the first on this podcast to congratulate interim head coach Ron Sanchez, who just sealed the deal, a gutsy, gritty win for the Basketball Hoos against the Campbell Camels. It should be noted that Campbell's coach told the color team from ESPN Plus that there's more talent in our gym than people think. So, big win for the Hoos.
What was the final score?
I think it was like a 7-point win or something. Oh, okay. It stayed below 60 for both. No, I think the Hoos cracked 60.
Hey, there you go. Growth.
Yeah. Saw some earlier shots in the shot clock. Got a couple of first years I'm excited about. The Hoos are going to struggle in the ACC, though. The point guard position is lacking.
If it hoops, I think both Commonwealth ACC teams are going to be riding the struggle bus a little bit this year. So
UVA had their heir apparent to Reese Beekman. He got injured in a scooter accident in the offseason, and he is out for the year. They also had a tall point guard that Mark Byington, you know, knows all about the tall point guards. They had a tall point guard decide to redshirt and transfer after the Tony Bennett resignation. So Andrew Rohde running the show, much to my chagrin.
It'd be fun. Trial by fire.
Can't be any worse than the Kehi Clark era. So, you know.
Just you wait.
Kehi Clark won a national title.
He did his damnedest to make sure we didn't win national title. That's for sure. Now that he's gone, we can speak frankly on the matter. It was never good. I was always more of a Sammy Zaglinski guy, if we're going to talk about mid point guards.
Among us was.
Right.
Anyway.
Sammy Zaglinski mid is an insult to Sammy Zaglinski.
You think
he was better than mid?
Yeah, I think he was mid plus.
Same. Okay. Sorry. You're right. That's on me. I should have been on that. I just remember writing over.
You have the desire to see things properly rated. Just painting Sammy Zaglinski with the mid brush.
Yeah. When we all remember he was mid plus.
With the mid brush.
That he dovetailed nicely into the London Perantes years.
Yeah. There you go. It's a name. He played the combo.
He was mid plus plus for sure.
No, we need to draw this.
We had Bub Evans too. He was. I think, can we call him? Can he be mid?
We had to draw out this mid-scale so that people understand. We need to like build a graphic of where
just the saddest run of
Went Sammy, then Bob, then London. But
yeah,
fair. London had panache.
Welcome to the show.
Tell me about yourself, Jason.
Hey, thanks, guys. It's great to be here. My name's Jason Kreck. I am also in Harrisonburg, Virginia, where it has been. It's very, very warm, and we had a lot of sun this morning. It was delightful. I am on the socials at Jason Kreck, and excited to be here. Excited to be here discussing a 1-0 Dukes men's basketball team. Big win over Ohio in Harrisonburg on Monday
night. How long has Byington not been the coach?
Exactly one game.
Okay, so yeah. I had no idea that he left JMU. I feel like maybe you sort of coming out of the mix there really put a damper on my information superhighway on JMU. I feel like I would have heard this, and I had no idea. I saw Mark Byington's coaching Vanderbilt. I'm like, oh, good for him. You know, I think.
Got a healthy bump. He left the day after we lost to Duke in the NCAA tournament. Everybody knew it was coming. It was not a surprise to anybody involved.
Who's coaching the Dukes now?
Preston Spradlin of Morehead State fame.
Laxer.
Huge Laxer. Yeah.
He's part of the Calipari coaching tree. He took
careful with that.
I like that. That's what I like to hear.
That's right. took Morehead State to the NCAA tournament last year without the preseason conference player of the year. And was, I think, beating Illinois at halftime of the NCAA tournament.
What happened to the preseason conference player of the year?
He got hurt. Between
I thought he
was John Morant.
Did not perform the preseason.
Mark Freeman was the preseason conference player of the year, got hurt between the poll and the season starting, didn't play at all. They still went to the tournament. Preston Spradlin came here. Mark Freeman joined him. He played very well on Monday night. So the Dukes have some talent. They got a little reload going.
Was Mark Freeman was he combo guard? What are we working with?
Very, very short point guard, but very very good at scoring.
That's keeping things on point. That's what I like to say. Right. Excellent. All right. Well, hey, you know, go Dukes. This is a pro Dukes podcast for sure.
That's right.
Do you guys have any drinks tonight?
I do. I teased the potential of going straight vodka tonight to try and.
Oh, that's help my right.
Life. I decided to instead mix two things that I hate. Not hate, but
vodka and tequila.
Don't necessarily fancy. It's vodka and a lemon Spindrift. And together, they're not terrible.
I can see that.
Yeah, I can see them like canceling out each other's worst traits.
A vodka soda situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. They dance okay together.
What kind of vodka are we working with?
Tito's.
Nice. Respect. An American classic. That's right. Austin, Texas's finest. Jason knows all about Tito's. That's his vodka of choice.
You said it, not me. I'm going back to the well with the squatty red stripe, giving it a chance for redemption. Fingers crossed.
I'm back on the polar raspberry lime. These are very good, so you know, we're going with it.
It works.
I've been sleeping well too. This time change has just been absolutely beating my ass, guys. Just letting you know, it really has been. So I'm sorry. It gets worse every year.
You can refer to our previous episode for said rants and
So anyhow, excited to be here late night with the boys. All right, coaching carousel. I don't think we have any more news to report. I did see a article come across my timeline wondering if the transfer portal has killed the coaching carousel. Which is a question.
Did we write that?
What?
Did one of us write that or is someone else listening and harvesting content?
Wogan Lighthouse. That's weird. I don't think it's the I didn't read the article. I should have. I don't think it's the transfer portal because I think the transfer portal kind of accelerated it the last few years because of the portal opening in December when it did.
Yeah,
which they talked about killing, but I don't remember if they did or not in their meetings this year. I think it's the budgetary constraints, and I think it's NIL and stuff like that. I think, you know, in the old days of like 18 months ago, you had big donor money to to jettison somebody in October if you wanted to and that sort of thing, get ahead of it. And again, that was the transfer portal happened or contributed to that because you wanted somebody that you could announce before the transfer portal opened so they could recruit while everybody else was prepping for bowls and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I think at this point they're asking people to donate to so many different pools and they don't know the budget situation with the house lawsuit and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think things have got to be pretty egregious to wear a double coaching salary the way that people have been very willing to in the past. So,
yeah, I think you're seeing some coaches sort of filter out of college football too, right? Like I think some folks are realizing that it might not be for them. And there's still a very small select few that are demanding in the, you know, $7+ million a year range. And, you know, some people are just not that into it. So I don't know. Well, I just thought it was kind of one of those like, oh, this is, or it could just be a blip year, right? Where just like the things didn't completely line up. And next year we could have 9 guys fired on September, you know, 30th. Right. So
and we've talked about it that matter. There are by weird, not quite coincidences, but happenstance, there's been multiple hot seat coaches that have kind of played their way into a fire extinguisher the last few weeks. Whereas in past years, maybe if 2 or 3 of those games go the other way, we have 2 or 3 more fired coaches and we're not even talking about this. So,
well, and it's possible too that in past years, they may have not gotten the chance to play their way off. They may have just been axed already.
Right. Yeah.
There's a fine line.
So this is all to say nothing new, I don't think, on the coaching carousel. Well, I think
it's proof that the national media is still listening to the Wheel Route podcast. I think if we know anything.
I did want to hit you guys with a couple headlines I saw on Football Scoop. We have a Mac Brown quote to start. Coaches and players have too many distractions, and that's why there's inconsistent play from teams on the weekend.
Oh,
sure. From Mac Brown. I love that.
What are Mac Brown's distractions, do we think?
I would rather not hypothesize on that.
When the lady comes and brings him his pills and his breakfast, I don't know. Like
all the new game shows they're rolling out on network TV these days.
Reruns of Wheel of Fortune.
Dabo.
Price is Right.
Dabo had a funny quote yesterday. He said, they done voted me out of the state at 6-2, which I think is kind of, you know, topical, hilarious.
He wants to leave so bad.
We
so
do
bad.
Have Matt Rhule bringing Dana Holgorsen as a consultant to the staff.
Yes. I did see that. There were a lot of jokes about Dana commuting from somewhere with better nightlife.
Better nightlife. I like that. We just kept some more just Mike Gundy being Mike Gundy. I wonder how that's going to go. Do you think Mike Gundy is like not long for this? Is he going to become like a Tommy Tuberville type?
Oh,
boy.
I guess there's now precedent, but
I see the path is all I'm getting at. So,
I unfortunately do
see the path and the hair, but
he does seem someone who does not enjoy the quote unquote new landscape.
No,
but if he keeps being successful, he can tolerate it, and his employer can tolerate it. But if things continue to trend poorly and or stagnate, there could be a mutual parting of ways in the next couple of years. I could see that.
Yeah, I could see that too. I just feel like there was a time where like Mike Gundy was like, should Florida try to hire Mike Gundy? You know, like that was a legitimate conversation worth having like 5 years ago. And things have just kind of gotten a little weird for our guy, Mike.
20th season at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's wild.
Was he was named the head coach when Les Miles left?
Wow.
Yeah, I guess he probably would have been. Yeah.
There's a name we haven't said in a while.
There we go, yeah. Speaking waiting in the wings. Where does he rank on your Florida vision board, Logan?
Well, Les Miles? yikes. He's Coach O is above Les Miles. If we're gonna have retread LSU.
We're really rolling down into different cohorts.
Right. No.
Speaking of a city with nightlife.
Nobody knew on the Florida big board. I have removed Eli Drinkwitz. Sorry, Eli. Thanks for coming. And
happy trails. Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. I did see, sent this to you guys. The quarterback. God, the USC quarterback. His son committed to SMU. Yes, Matt Leinart's son committed to our guy, Rhett Lashley at SMU. Right. So maybe that's a package deal and could bring him to Gainesville if DJ Lagway breaks my heart, but we'll see.
That is one of the stunning, like, whoa, I have been around for a while.
Yes. Yeah, that's
what I thought was like, I am 72 years old.
Well, because he's like,
that liner was like.
And maybe that's because there's like a run of these USC quarterbacks that all seemed like very much cut from the same cool guy, Cali, like modern day high school cloth. But he was certainly one of them. And like, I still feel like I hear him on like Rosillo's podcast or whatever. And I'm like, oh, Matt Liner, what is he, 29? Just kind of washed out of the league, you know, just calling up ball plays. Like, hey, he's got a kid that's 17 or whatever. So, you know, wow. Crazy. Who would have thought? Before we get to games, I think there was, I wanted to invite Trent Dilfer to the hot seat tracker.
Yeah. Oh, great point.
He has not been on there. The Split Zone Duo did an episode of the podcast this week in which they ranked they basically drafted the worst coaching hires of like recent memory. And it was one of the most enjoyable listens that I've had. It was like
we're just going to eat
this
up.
There's like, nothing more like than like, oh, Nebraska hired Bill Callahan to rescue them from like 9-3 Frank Solich. Like, oh, geez, these are some names. It was big time remembering some guys. And then there's just like the sort of butterfly effect things they talk about too. Like, one of the last ones on the podcast, Roger Sherman drafted Ellis Johnson, who was a 1-year head coach at Southern Miss and went 0-12 after. And like, apparently the two other people that they interviewed for the job were, Kirby Smart was one of the other three people, was one of the three people they interviewed for the job. It's just like, it's just crazy to see here some of these names. This is a long time ago. Who knows if Kirby,
we've often said it.
If he would have even taken the job, but it is kind of funny how these things go. So okay, so we're good with having Trent Dilfer on there.
Yes.
Is Lincoln Riley, are we holding pat on Lincoln Riley? Things, the vibes seem to be off, but like
maybe making a QB change this week, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, was the QB the problem?
I wouldn't say. I felt like I didn't see a lot of USC football, but the reports I was seeing was a lot of like, yeah, Mason Miller's still kind of spinning it, but they kind of look like butt. And so
Miller Moss, but I think,
Miller Moss, wrong, you, wrong
I think you're good. That was probably a laxer. Mason Miller is definitely a laxer, or a swimmer or a golfer. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just one of those, like you're a couple games under 500. Why not roll it out there? See who else you got. Let Miller sit on the bench for a game. See what he sees, right? Who knows?
Before you sacrifice a coordinator. Because didn't he do that last year?
Probably.
Well, it was Alex Grinch, wasn't it?
Oh, God. But, yeah, their defense is so bad. Yeah, that is true. Their defense has been better this year.
That's true. In the limited USC action I've watched, they kind of strike me as, like, FSU plus, maybe.
Yeah.
Where, like, the pieces are there. Which you can't necessarily say about FSU this year.
Correct.
But it, very disjointed
football.
But at times they show flashes, which I think is maybe more dangerous for Lincoln's tenure because you can see like, well, it's there and they're capable of it. Why aren't they doing it more consistently? With FSU, it's just like, this team sucks. Let's reshuffle the deck and start a new shoe next year, coach. But let's put Lincoln on the warm.
It could be on the like we got an eye on you seat. I think too, like Lincoln after he hasn't had his best. He doesn't do his best work in press conferences either. He gets a little snippy and tries to be ultra controlling about that stuff. So like I think that I personally just don't like when coaches are like that, right? I mean, not that anybody probably craves their coach to be like that, but I'm just in general, that stuff bothers me maybe more than others. And then so like that's not a good look. And then he also I think trotted out the, well, it's not like we're getting killed, like he said that after the game last week. Oh man, it's just like we're losing close games. It's like, well, I mean, he's not wrong. But also, like, what are you doing? Like, what kind of spin zone is that? So,
what point are you trying to make here?
Yeah, odd. So, anyhow, okay, not a bumper crop of games this weekend, but I am excited for home dogs the home dog, the five home dog run that we have going here. It's going to be exciting in Pickville. Spoiler alert. But first, let's talk about.
I was going to say, are you asking to go directly to Pickville?
No, I'm not asking to go directly to Pickville. I've been stewing on it. But first up, Miami is at Georgia Tech. I only put this on here because, you know, we need to see if Georgia Tech can awaken the echoes of what happened last year. One of the worst coaching acts of violence against his own team that anyone has ever seen.
Hall of Fame sabotage.
Yes.
Hilarious.
Yes. I don't think Georgia Tech can do it, especially if their quarterback doesn't play. But, you know, Miami has shown the propensity to play down to the level of their competition this year. So that's one thing we got to say about Miami.
This game opened at Miami by 13. It's already been bet down to 11. Everybody loves the Jackets.
Yeah, see, you got to fade the public there, I think.
Yeah. Miami at 11 is great for a 13-point team, guys. don't let me get my hands on Miami, favored by less than 13.
I know.
You know they're going to be losing like by some bizarre score, like 25-22, like heading into the fourth quarter, and they're going to win by like 27. Like, wow, geez, they really came unglued there, guys. Good work. And they're going to win by 27 because they make four touchdowns and miss an extra point inexplicably. Just like they're good for just like really random gaffes and like
both. Well, yeah, their kicker's going to be cold, not getting action for three quarters. And they'll
throw a pick six on a 2-point conversion attempt. And
Bombay, I guess. Yeah. All right. Florida is at Texas. DJ Lagway, grade 2 hamstring strain. So he evidently has been getting PRP injections and has been in the weight room this week, really wants to play. My personal opinion would be, let's not do that. And let's save him for when I'll be in town for the LSU game the following weekend. That would be nice.
There we go.
I'd like to see Mr. Lagway in person, but I feel like for Florida, maybe we chalk this one up to, just not going to happen.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Also, it was pointed out by Florida fans that this gentleman who played quarterback, the Yale transfer, God bless him, he evidently beat out a guy who transferred from Colorado State, who was a former 4-star recruit that is on the roster for Florida that just like evidently can't see the field. I don't know what his deal is. He threw for, I mean, he had like legitimate, I think, season at Colorado State at one point. So anyhow, maybe too much Adazio in his system. Just it's tough.
I would imagine he was throwing a lot. The volume was there at Colorado State.
Yeah, you would think. I heard it wasn't very accurate. But, I mean, if the Yale guy that I saw last week is, like, your far and away best option, then Mr. Clay Millen has had a tough fall from graces. Maybe that.
Well, I mean, you said Yale guy knows the playbook.
It would appear that he knows the playbook. Yeah. And Jason pointed out that occasionally he really ripped one in there. That pass was in there too.
Absolute lasers. At
the first like sort of lofted screen pass to the flat was not great because I really thought that one was going to get yoink six.
I would love to see the data of like a quarterback's hardest pass of a game against the quarterback's softest pass of the game. And I've never seen one more drastic. Like,
yes,
it felt like I was like, am I seeing things or is he throwing consecutive passes 140 miles an hour and 12 miles an hour?
It's like watching a guy throw an Ephus pitch in a major league game.
Psych.
Yeah. Kind of a shame because I'm not saying Texas is gettable. I don't think Texas has been awesome since yours has been back. I think he's like, clearly agreed. Not 100%, and I kind of feel like he wants to play, so he's playing more than he probably just doesn't want to get passed by the backup, which makes a lot of sense. He stands to make a lot of money this offseason, so you know I'm sure he wants to play, but I would have liked to see like plucky Florida defense and DJ Lagway volatility factor in at like noon in Texas just to see if that could have been something that could have maybe caught him flat-footed and we could have had a game in the second half. I don't think that's the case, but we'll see. The team's playing hard for Billy. We love to see that.
Yeah, which is impressive, like all things considered.
All-time helmet matchup game here too. It's going to be nice.
Yeah.
Good potential. Good potential.
The aesthetics will be delightful.
Yeah, definitely. All right, West Virginia's at Cincinnati in a matchup of two Big 12 teams.
technically correct.
Teams. Yeah, they are Big 12 teams. I don't know. Just had this on here just in case anybody was flitzing around. It might be in the four box. South Carolina's at Vanderbilt. This one could be fun.
Yes.
Both of these teams are on the kind of sicko delight fun meter for me. I just like watching a South Carolina game because really everything's on the table in a South Carolina game. Big letdown spot here for them on the road at sleepy Vanderbilt after having like an all-time performance last week. So it's just watch the space there. I might check in on that line when I'm doing my early morning Saturday scroll.
Your evacuation.
When I'm evacuating all my funds into some exotic parlays and my turds. All right. Florida State is at Notre Dame. Just have to mention Florida State. The things do not get better for them this week as they go on the road to Notre Dame.
They are still present and playing football, technically.
Notre, not quite a four touchdown line yet.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
Wow. Yeah. So that's not good. Notre Dame, if I was Florida State, I would not want to be playing Notre Dame. Notre Dame's been playing well. They looked at it rounding into form. Riley Leonard's been playing a lot better. Florida State has not been playing better. So another slice of humble pie here. Or who knows? Maybe this is Big Mike's chance to turn things around.
That would be funny.
It would be funny. Wouldn't it be hilarious? Jason, the JMU Dukes welcoming the Georgia State. What are they, the Blue Panthers?
Just Panthers, but still impressive.
Yeah. It looked like a Panther. Their colors are blue.
That's fair. I can't knock the methodology. I respect it.
Thank you.
But yeah, Dukes are back home, coming off a bye week. A chance to go to 7-2 and kind of sort of stay in the mix in the Sun Belt East, which is just pure chaos. Mm. There's like six teams with between 1 and 3 losses. It's nuts. This is Georgia State's fourth road game in 4 weeks, which is a giant middle finger from whatever computer spit that schedule out.
Hmm.
And they've gone at Marshall, at App State, at UConn, now at JMU. Just a very, very strange quirk. But Georgia State's 2-6, but I think they're probably better than their record. That's a tough stretch of games.
They have a win over Vanderbilt, Jason. Does that make you nervous?
And they beat Vanderbilt. So I think they have talent and should be interesting. 3:30 kick, everybody's favorite Harrisonburg kickoff time, right in the middle of everything.
Are you going to be rocking with the Dukes this weekend?
I'll be there. I'll be live and in living color.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice. What's on the tailgate menu? You got the generator coming for the smoker?
No, I don't have a parking pass, so I just park right off campus and just roll between tailgates for like 3 hours pregame. It's delightful.
Man of the people.
The mercenary.
Yeah. I love that.
Love it.
You've got your 7 red stripes crammed in your jacket, and you're just walking around. Your jacket.
It's clinking as you move.
The jacket swaying back and forth for no reason at all.
He's two kids in a trench coat.
If it's the built-in hoodie jacket, it's even better. If it's that one,
the fake Carhartt one.
Yeah, that's the ultimate beer snuggler and smuggler. Jordan, the Hoos, UVA at Pitt, tough spot this weekend. How are we feeling?
I can see a multiple side, argument. UVA is coming off a bye week. Pitt is coming off of getting thwacked by SMU.
Yes. So, without their quarterback, is Holstein going to play?
No idea.
Okay.
not too plugged in to the injury report.
It's fine. Holstein did not play last week. I think that contributed to the beatdown.
So yeah, I'm curious to see because UVA showed pretty well off of their first bye week, going into their second trimester of the season, if you will. We'll see what this one did, if anything. Would love to see, some better red zone play calling. I know I'm a broken record there, but if it's more of the same, Dez probably should should visit the U-Haul store and get some boxes. Yeah, the line right now is 7.5. I think the advanced stats projection I saw liked Pitt by around 13 or 14. So it feels like one UVA could win by a touchdown. They could lose on a missed two-point conversion, or they could lose by 24 just as easily. So
definitely one you want to put money, live American dollars on with a feel like that. You should
rummage around in the alt lines, but you know, still can't do that here in this Commonwealth for Commonwealth schools, but that's fine.
Right. Yeah, we'll see.
8 o'clock kick though. Pitt at night on the ACC network.
Love it.
Gonna draw dozens of eyeballs.
The Sky Rizzy commercials are gonna be going loco.
Sky Rizzy and the boner pills and the Chick-fil-A sandwiches. I tell you, the ACC network.
The holy triumvirate of the ACC network commercials.
Shows some ridiculous ads. Yes. And they've only got like 6 or 7 of them.
The tactical sunglasses back in the day. That was a big one. Like they're just yellow sunglasses. They're just like shooting glasses.
Turn everything weirdly bright yellow. This is exactly what we use in the Rangers. I don't think that's correct, but okay.
Tactical glasses.
There's also one for a while, like the very bright garage light.
Yeah, wasn't there a guy like walking in the driveway? Like he was like, it was like that the Yeti, the picture of the Yeti where he was like the hands up, just the very bright garage.
Norman garage lights only get you 120 lumens, where we get 12,000.
This will burn the skin off of the intruder. classic. All right, and then finally, Washington is at Penn State. It's a night game, a little bit of a letdown spot. I think this is supposed to be their whiteout game, but I know they're all mad because they didn't properly get to whiteout the Ohio State game last week. Did you see that they had the fans were boycotting Big Noon? Nobody went to Big Noon. Everyone's at game day.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's funny to me. Kind of. Doesn't really matter.
I'm fully on board with super dramatic, petty fights between the two pregame shows.
Well, yeah. But anytime you got Urban Meyer sitting there in his damn terrible sunglasses, just firing takes into the void.
Pixar villain.
Yeah, someone needs to talk to Urban Meyer about the glasses. It's terrible. He and old Texas.
Do we think they're transition lenses?
Unfortunately, I think they might be. What is as Dr. Colin would call them, auto-tune lenses. Brody's out here with the auto-tune lenses. That was a classic. All right. Jordan, take us to Pickville.
All right. Before we go to Pickville.
T-O. I know. I jumped the gun. I'm sorry.
Jason, you got anything?
I was going to shout out Michigan at Indiana, where Indiana is 2 touchdown favorites.
Oh, I skipped right over that one. That's my bad.
There was one other one, and I can't remember. So, Jordan, do yours. I'll see if I can find it.
For me, Iowa State is at Kansas. That line's only Iowa State -3. Kansas is not good. I don't know if Iowa State's dealing with some injury stuff at key positions or what's going on there, but that caught my eye for # reasons. Oklahoma State, 10.5-point road dogs at TCU. So it's 2 struggle bus coaches. One of them is going to get a win there.
We'll shine off. I can't find the other one I was going to say. BYU Utah. We're picking that one, aren't we? Never mind. Faux pas. I blew it. We'll cut that out. It's embarrassing.
Wow. No, I'll leave it in.
Spoiler alert.
People can see how authentic.
I know you will.
Of course we have.
We are mortals, despite what our incredible records would lead you to believe.
On that note, let's go to Pickville for the games we are picking. There are 5 of them. We don't have any nooners this week. So a chance to maybe brunch it up with your friends and or fam. Maybe get some golf in. Who knows? We're going to hit it hard In the mid-afternoon slot, though, 3:30 p.m., we've got Georgia at Ole Miss. The Dogs are favored on the road by 2.5, and Jason gets to begin.
This line makes me feel like I'm missing something. I'm going to take Georgia. That seems like way too small of a line. I know that Lane can do some weird stuff and Ole Miss can do some weird stuff and they're at home, but I just think Georgia's a much better football team by a notable margin.
Yeah. And Georgia at their best certainly is.
Right. That's fair. But I'm going to try to keep it as simple as possible and take Georgia, knowing that in mind.
Yeah, I'm going to take Georgia here as well. The advanced stats likes Ole Miss to cover and potentially even win here. I do know they have an improved defense. I think their offensive performance last week may be getting slightly overvalued in this line. And historically, this just feels like the game I have talked myself into, okay, this is the one where Lane's going to kind of break the seal, so to speak, and he never does. So fool me three times, shame on me and you. Let's go Dogs here.
You know, I kind of wanted to fade you guys just to do it, but when I first saw this, I was like, yeah, I can't. Like, Kirby's a good big game coach, and I don't think that Lane, unfortunately, is, or to this point, has not proven to be one to show up in ultra big games like this. They play a lot tighter. If Trey Harris plays, that's very helpful for them. I don't know if he's going to. He's been hobbled with an injury, so that's not great. You know, I think, like, Florida was able to move the ball on Georgia last week. Georgia's not unbeatable or invincible. But I think that, you know, just the big game factor, and I just like can't think that Beck is going to be as like bad again, which I really feel like is the Ole Miss ticket to like victory here, is like taking advantage of another bad Carson Beck game. So, you know, hopefully we've only just been doing FaceTimes with the girlfriend this week and there's been no contact and we come out sharp and ready to go. It's basketball. It's basketball season now, so like, you know, she's got stuff to do.
It also feels like Lane is probably one of the head coaches that Kirby is like, I am not losing to that mother.
That's also probably, and that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, I trust the Kirby's team to be ready to go. I'm sure that like he had plenty of bad tape to, you know, hang over their heads after last week, and you know, you embarrassed me against a rival. Now we're gonna beat the hell out of the. Whatever, Rebs.
Whoever's next.
Who's next, though? Unfortunately, it's the Rebs. I'd love to see Georgia lose again. I'll be rooting for Georgia to lose again, as I do every week. Part of my personal brand.
The Lane Kiffin price tag goes up every time.
No, that's not happening. We're going to have to revisit that in 2025, post-house settlement. Circle back around on that.
All right, game number two, also at 3:30, Clemson takes the trip north to vaunted Lane Stadium to take on Brent Pry's Hokies. The Tigers are favored by 6.5. I'm going to take Clemson here with some trepidation. They didn't look great against Louisville.
No. Clemson against teams with pulses this year has not gone well.
That was a home game at night, which is concerning. I'm kind of on the same train of thought, Logan, as you were with the Kirby situation. Had some bad tape to coach up. Clemson now has plenty of adversity, which Dabo loves historically to use as a motivation factor. He doesn't have to manufacture it this time, so it's like raw, uncut adversity, which is potentially more powerful. And the drones and Tootin injuries for Virginia Tech, I would assume they're going to play, but I don't have a ton of confidence as to what we're going to get out of them if they were both out in an important game last week. So I'll take the more proven to this point commodity in Clemson. But it's going to be a tough day for my brand because one of these schools is going to win. So,
Yeah, that is tough. It is one of those, like, the worst person I know just made a great point kind of situations, right? I think you gotta expect a bit of a bounce back performance from Clemson here more than the VPI with the especially with the injuries. So I'll go Clemson, regrettably.
I'm gonna go against you guys. I'm gonna take Virginia Tech here.
Great. Thank you.
I think I would never put back to back consensus the way things have been going. I think I really wish that the reason I took so long contemplating it is I wish they were getting one more point and I could have 7.5, but I'm going to look at it. I'm going to try to look on the optimistic side and go back to the stat we cited where they would be like 8-0-1. If games ended 2 minutes earlier, they've kept it close against their schedule. And so it would not shock me at all if like Clemson walked this off on a field goal, that would be the funniest possible result. So it seems most likely to happen. But I'm going to take Virginia Tech to at least keep it close. Or pull off an inexplicable win in the middle of a very otherwise blah season. But as we're coming down the stretch, this is when they cook for no reason at all. So
this is Brent Pry extension season.
That's right.
Much to the chagrin of the Hokie Club.
Yeah.
All right. 4 p.m. So we're scooting up half an hour, but still squarely in that mid-afternoon slot. We've got Colorado at Texas Tech. A resurgent Texas Tech,
yeah,
in some ways. 6-3 now, I believe.
Correct.
Colorado favored on the road here by 3.5 points. Logan.
I mean, Colorado's got like legitimate Big 12 title chance, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So that means playoff Colorado in year two of Dion. That would be crazy. I'll go Colorado. Like what I'm seeing, they seem like they've kind of, as we've heard less from them, we have seen better play, which has been maybe a good thing all around. I like Colorado. Not loving that I'm on three straight road favorites to cover spreads of varying degrees. Not a huge spread here. Texas Tech, a little wonky. Tough to put your finger on the Big 12, though. We learned that last week. I learned that last week in numerous ways. We'll get to BYU later. But, give me Colorado. Why not? They're fun.
They are that. I think I'm going to take Texas Tech. I think Colorado has been rolling. Colorado's coming off a bye. And it feels a little bit like Colorado is a big momentum team. So I am curious to see how they do. They seem like a team where like an extra week of prep is great, but also maybe it kind of throws off the rhythm a little bit. Texas Tech is not playing as well the last few weeks as their record has looked. They got hammered at home by Baylor and they lost to TCU and they eked one out at Iowa State, which is good, but That 6-3 seems a little soft, which gives me pause, but I like them at home. I like that this is probably one of the more notable home games they've had in a while just because of the concept of Colorado, if not the actual national implications or anything like that. But, guns up, Red Raiders.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to take Colorado as well. Jason, that's a good point about the bye week. Rust versus rest. I like the bye week, if not only just to get Travis Hunter healthier, give him some rest. So you got to figure he's just ready to go, right? He hates not being in on a snap, let alone for an entire week. I'll take Colorado. Texas Tech, not good metrics defensively against some of your more standard offenses in college football. Interesting to see how they do against the, you know, kind of the jazz scat free wheeling offense of Colorado.
Pat Shermer scat offense, as we have named it.
Let's throw a TM next to that. Pat Shermer scat. Slot that right below the go-go.
Scat Shermer. Got him.
Yes, you did. All right, 7:30 p.m. We've got our second and final ranked. This is Alabama at LSU. Bama's favored by 3 on the road in Death Valley at night. Jason.
Give me the Tigers. Let's make it weird. Both these teams coming off a bye. I think Alabama does have more talent, but I can't shake the feeling that Jalen Milroe kind of feels like he's going to keep both teams in it in this one.
And you got a couple quarterbacks here that are down.
You're not wrong.
Get perspective downfield, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And in Death Valley at night, that seems like it could go a little bit sideways, a lot in a hurry. So I don't know. If these two teams played on a neutral site, I'd almost definitely take Alabama. But in Death Valley, I think that's enough of an edge that LSU can weird this thing up enough to make Kalen DeBoer's holidays very awkward. So, Tigers.
I'm going to take Bama here. Bye week, helpful, I think, more so for Alabama. Try and maybe press a mini reset button. You've also got some film recently of LSU struggling against a quarterback who can run in Marcel Reed from Texas A&M. Reed also didn't really have the throwing threat that Jalen Milroe presents. So it was kind of Wigman is a one-dimensional guy and Reed is the other one-dimensional guy. And we found the one dimension that you guys don't deal with well. Yes, LSU had their own bye week to try and figure some things out, but they haven't faced a Jalen Milroe type dual threat, to my knowledge, this year. Now, with that said, Alabama has seemed reluctant to run Milroe in the past several weeks. So I think my confidence in this pick hinges a lot on run him intentionally the way you did against Georgia, try and get off against a fast start. I am nervy about how Bama's young DBs do against Nussmeier and that offense. So maybe an over candidate here, more so than a spread pick for me.
What do you personal
vision fund?
What do you think the over under is in this one?
Oh, like 58?
Yeah.
58.5.
Seems about right. I like LSU here as well, for most of the reasons Jason's outlined, but like the home field advantage. Alabama's just seemed a little rattleable and shaky this year. I know that that's not exactly a probably direct thing you can put your finger on.
Great word, though.
I do think that Nussmeier and the receivers should be able to pick on Alabama's DBs. Just doesn't seem like they've had a very solid game plan since the first half of the Georgia game. It seemed like they've been chasing the game a little bit. And I think, too, the offense not being, plus taking advantage, probably makes the defense appear to be a little bit more behind. So that all said, I like LSU here at home, mostly just because of the home field advantage factor. This game is always fun. It's always ultra intense. There's always NFL players at every position on both sides of the field. So I think this is, should be a good time.
Yeah. All right, final game of the night could also be a good time, depending on what you're into. We've got the Holy War, ladies and gentlemen. BYU is at Utah. Elevation husbands and fathers against the Elevation boys. This is a 10:15 p.m. kick, so
buckle up.
That pot of coffee on. Maybe make a Wawa run if you're regionally fortunate, like Logan and others are.
Yeah. Gonna stone cold some Celsiuses in my yard, and then watch Utah play.
Got to mix like one fizzy and one non-fizzy, just okay. Maximum weirdness. Like,
I've got
a sad stream,
I've got,
and then
I've
a
got
spray.
The green tea one and the yeah,
the peach vibes.
Yeah, cola, something yeah. like that. Ugh, gross.
All right. So all that to say, BYU is favored by 4 on the road. I am going to make it a personal clean sweep for road favorites and take BYU here. I do think that, you know, rivalry game, throw the records out, yada, yada, yada. That does give me some concern. Advanced stats like BYU by 15 in this. Rising's not in. Utah does not have the special capital U Utah juice this season. So yes, it may help that they're at home, but I just think BYU is flat out the better squad.
I think you're probably right. I'm going to take Utah though at home. They're rolling out some awesome all red throwback jerseys for this game as well, which should be fun and good to see. I think this is like prime. I'm really going off vibes here. This is prime, like, spoiler situation.
Prime Coach Kyle shoves it to Logan.
Yeah, Coach Kyle rivalry spoiler situation. So I'll take Utah to cover that. They're getting a couple puntos at home there. And, you know, new offensive coordinator, maybe some new decisions being made, new levers being pulled. And I think their defense should be up to the task. BYU has gotten away with some things this year, and you know, they should be called to the stand to answer for these things here
for
too much longer. Utah answered for their crimes earlier, and I'm ready to be heard again.
Okay.
Excited to pick Louisville next week versus whoever they play in a similar vein.
I'm going to side with Jordan and take BYU. I think they just have the talent is that lopsided to overcome everything Logan correctly said. I don't have a lot more analysis than that. I think BYU is a very good team, and Utah is, I'm not sure, a team in transition, but they're not where they want to be clearly, and they're not on the same level as BYU. So,
Yeah, like the advanced stats for Utah, the defense is good. The offense is putrid.
Heinous.
Yes.
So I don't think that's getting magically better against BYU, who's got a serviceable defense.
Right.
So
I think it's fine. But, you know, let's couple turnovers at home.
That's why they play the game.
Place gets rocking. Husbands and fathers aren't used to being out that late, you know?
Or got add so back.
It could be a, like, they appreciate being out late that much more, so they play that much harder. Like, yeah. Oh, hell yeah, boys' night, guys.
Boys' night. Boys, it's a men's retreat. We're doing a men's retreat to wherever Utah is.
Boy dinner.
Salt Lake City, probably.
Maybe.
I think BYU's in Provo.
BYU is Provo. I don't know where.
St. George.
What are we talking about?
A recruiter reached out to me about a job in St. George, Utah.
Where is the University of Utah located, Jason?
It's in Salt Lake, isn't it?
I think so.
That's the assumption, but
yeah,
we'd like to verify our facts.
Fact checker, Jason, if you can get on it, please. Thank you. One hand.
Salt Lake City.
Okay.
Yeah.
SLC. All right. Yeah, interesting week. Kind of like for a week that doesn't have like a bunch of those weird end of season SEC versus like Wofford games or whatever that you see show up. I'm interested. So,
as we've always said, these are the kind of weeks where things get weird because we're like, oh, there's not a ton on the schedule, and then things get weird.
I would welcome a blood week. Let's go.
That's right.
Blood week part two. All right, you guys got anything else to tell the people?
Nope.
Excellent. Well, in that case, I'm going to sign off of this podcast. Thank you for joining us on The Wheel Route. We're on Instagram, Wheelroute Podcast. You can send emails to wheelroutepodcast@gmail.com. You can go to thewheelroute.com, stream the show there, see the picks tracker there, things of that nature. Until we meet again, we love you guys. Go Gators.
Go Hoos.
Okay, go Dukes.